The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
As the opening show of News Talk Summer Tour, with thanks to ESB, the largest EV charging network, we're broadcasting from Avondale, the historic home of Charles Stewart Parnell. Now, we're surrounded by some of the most beautiful woodlands in the country, but just a few kilometres away lies another of Wicklow's great treasures, Kilmacurragh Botanic Gardens. It's set in a sheltered valley near Rathdrum. It's home to one of the finest collections of rhododendrons and magnolias and rare trees in Europe. And yet its story is more than about plants. It's a story of Victorian plant hunters, remarkable collectors, decades of decline, and then one of great resurrection. And a man who's dropped by to us here in the pavilion in Avondale, but has already been to Kilmacurragh this morning, is Dermot Gavin, Chelsea gold medal winner and much more besides. Dermot, good morning and welcome.
Morning, great to see you. Great to see everybody here. Mind you, I should have been listening. I didn't know there was an audience.
And you cleaned up well, it's okay.
I cleaned up. But they're all going to see me reading my notes now.
Now, you dropped in there this morning.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. So it's only 10 minutes away from here in Avondale. It's a remarkable estate that I've always been aware of. It's had a kind of complex history down through hundreds and hundreds of years. And it was abandoned for a time. But in recent, the last 20 years, it has been rescued. And the collection of trees has been really rescued. And at the moment, that there's kind of two times of the year when it's absolutely brilliant to visit it. So that's early spring when the magnolias and the rhododendrons are in flower, and it's an unsurpassed collection. But now the meadows are out, and the meadows, even as you drive in, are just looking fantastic. They're just a carpet of native Irish orchids. Mm. It's extraordinary.
You showed me a picture of yourself, which was taken this morning.
Yeah.
And there's a plant that's standing probably twice your size beside it.
Twice and the rest. They grow up to 2 to 3 metres in height. They're a very rare plant from the Himalayas. So it's Cardiocranum giganticum, and that's the giant Himalayan lily. Very difficult to grow. You need the right conditions. Obviously, the conditions are perfect there, and they're perfect in Mount Usher Gardens, just down in Ashford. A slightly acidic soil, but that kind of mild, moist and valley setting really suits it. These are like plants from Alice in Wonderland. You know, the trumpets of these flowers are nearly a foot long. They're intoxicating, extraordinary, and only in flower for the next week or so.
So now is your chance. If you're in the Avondale area, do a detour and make sure you.
If you're in Cork, do a detour and come up to the
Now Avondale area. This all goes back to a saint I'd never heard of, Saint Muckerogue.
I'm glad you pronounced it.
I've heard the term. He was a bit of a mucker, but a Muckerogue, Saint Muckerogue.
Yeah, maybe that's what, so. He had in the 7th century. He had a monastery there, and then after the dissolution of the monasteries through across the water, that came in the 1600s to the Acton family, and Thomas Acton built one of Ireland's earliest Queen Anne style houses. And it was fairly unusual at the time, because most of these houses would have been fortified, but this is a very elegant house without all the fortifications.
Does it still remain, the house?
It does. Well, that's a long story. It just about does. And I could say just about up until, you know, only December, because the roof has gone in the 80s and into the early 90s, there was a couple of fires there that had gone out of the Acton family, who had done great work, especially in terms of acquiring plants and understanding what a special place it was in terms of growing plants, especially trees, and from those areas like China and Japan and parts of Asia. But the house was almost destroyed. And I remember doing, I was opening something there, I think it was a cafe or something like that, about 10 years ago, and there was a guy who will go on to talk about Seamus, and the minister was there, and Seamus was asking, whatever you say in your speech, please ask for a roof. We really need, because if they managed to re-roof the house, they'd manage to save the house, preserve it, rebuild it, and the Acton family have promised that some of the furniture that was originally in the house will come back to the house.
So have we a promise of a roof?
Oh, it's all happening. So that's why I went down this morning to see if the scaffolding was up and the scaffolding is well up. And the guy, I met a young lad down there, a gardener with the, a tour guide, I think, with the Office of Public Works. Rian is his name. And he told me it's a bit like a game of Jenga. I took note of the engineer's name there. They're Garland surveyors. So they're obviously seeing what state the place is in, removing any of the probably trees that have been grown in. I read something about cherry laurels having seeded themselves in there. And there will be a roof. So in a way, that is the legacy for the next generation.
Now, the planted legacy as a result of plant hunters, I mean, there was a great fashion in Victorian times to go to exotic parts of the world and bring stuff back. Nowadays, we're a bit more careful about alien species in case they run riot or destroy some of our native species. But there was a great fashion then for plants from Japan, from Asia, from all over the place.
That's right. So you had people, collectors such as Augustine Henry, Ernest Wilson and Joseph Hooker from this country or from next door to us. They were going finding incredible plants, both for in terms of commercial crops and both for ornamental trees and shrubberies, and so that people could show off or be delighted by the latest arrival. And understanding, I mean, we often forget what we think about yesterday and the rain that came yesterday, and you know, we feel sorry for ourselves. But of course, that creates the perfect climate, or in places, microclimate, for growing all these extraordinary plants that have arrived on our shores from many different parts around the world. So this would have been Nepal, as we've just mentioned, China and Japan and the Americas. So brilliant collection.
Now, what we have collections today in this wonderful garden, much of it goes down to Seamus. You mentioned him.
Yeah.
He arrived in 2006?
Seamus arrived in the gardens in 2006. So he was appointed head gardener there. He was from Baltinglass, deeper in County Wicklow, and he had developed an amazing love of plants from his mum, Mary. He trained in Glasnevin. He later trained at Kew Gardens and worked at Ilnacullen on Garnish Island. And very, very fast, as a young lad, he established himself as one of this country's and one of Europe's and probably beyond best plants person. He just had that innate understanding of plants, of gardens. And he was a great lever. So I met him when he was working at Glanleam Gardens, which was the old Knight of Kerry's estate on Valentia Island in County Kerry. It was 1995, and I was going begging, borrowing and stealing plants for my first display at the Chelsea Flower Show. And Seamus was working in this garden. Not only did he help me out with plants, but he came over to the Chelsea Flower Show with me. And, you know, he was interpreting the garden. He helped us build it and was interpreting for the visitors there. But soon the special nature of Seamus O'Brien was to be realised by everybody. He was really quite extraordinary. One of the best plants people in the world, one of the best lecturers.
He won many awards, and in fact the king, the present king, when he was Prince of Wales, came over to have a chat.
He visited Kilmacurra. He walked around with Seamus. I have a photograph of both of them suited and booted. And indeed, he asked Seamus to be a consultant on some of his gardens back in the UK after the visit. He recognised how special
the tragedy, Seamus, I suppose,
was.
That Seamus died rather suddenly.
A week before, he was just saying it was the week before Christmas, and he was just saying this is the last Christmas that the house won't have a roof. And he wasn't around to see the work he had done opening up vistas, kind of rescuing the collection, was quite remarkable. And that garden will remain as a testament to many people, but most especially Seamus O'Brien.
And we remember him today, and his work, it's there for all to see,
for all to enjoy. Yeah.
Jim McGavin, garden designer, horticulturist, Chelsea gold medal winner. Jim McGavin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.